Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do we constantly crucify our Lord? Good question. Take a look at the picture that I put on the front of your bulletin this morning. This is an Easter picture. But yet, as I look at that picture, what is the focus on the picture? Is it the resurrection or the crucifixion? What's in the foreground? The crucifixion. But after it, you see the risen Christ behind. And folks, that's an interesting concept. Why? Because you can't have resurrection without crucifixion. They work together. When I was in Cincinnati, this is just bugging the heck out of me, sorry. When I was in Cincinnati on my practice pastor year, it's called a vicarage year, I was assigned to the Veterans Hospital, the VA hospital. And I spent a lot of time with former military people who were getting ready to make that transition into eternal life. And one day I was talking to a retired Army chaplain slash pastor, Lutheran, okay, enjoyed talking, sat down with him, and we were talking because he was very close to joining Jesus in glory. He told me he no longer believed in Jesus, and he no longer believed in the Bible. And this is a guy that had dedicated his entire life to it. He turned away from Christianity. And I asked him, I said, why do you feel that way? He said, because of the hypocrisy of the people who call themselves Christian. Well, I understand that too. But I said, Pastor, when you talk about the hypocrisy of Jesus' people, why are you blaming Jesus for their hypocrisy? He said, because Jesus didn't do anything about it. Conversation you and I have had. You know, and I didn't know what to say to him, but the Holy Spirit came over and said, well, Pastor, why didn't you do something about it? And it got real quiet. You know, I felt so sorry for him. Here he's dedicated his entire life to serving Christ, and at the end, he regretted it. You know, I think such a decision always hits us to the core of our being. You know, I know it does to me. I bet it does to you, too. I mean, how would you handle it if somebody that you knew that was a strong Christian said no? We know that sometimes our bad behavior has led someone away from Jesus. How many times have you been in a church? Okay? And at this church, you come in, you sit down in church. Okay? And somebody is the southbound end of a northbound horse to you. Yeah, somebody is getting it. Okay. Well, actually, we were riding a horse, right? No. So let me ask you this. Who's doing it? Is it Jesus? No, it's the people themselves. But invariably, who do we blame? We blame God and Jesus. Well, I'm not going to church because God did this to me. I don't notice that God did that to you. Some idiot did it to you. But yet, how many times have we blamed God for something that some man or woman has done? And I know you've all had that happen to you in the past.
I have too,
being even as a pastor. So when we have this, I think there's many things going on in the Christian life that lead us to constantly crucify Jesus. Okay? It's the end. We reject him, but it's a matter of spiritual warfare. Okay, well, what do I mean by that? It was Satan who, in the Garden of Eden, challenged Eve to reject Jesus. by lying about what God actually meant when he told Adam and Eve they would die if they ate the forbidden fruit. Hey, you know, you can eat this. It's okay. God didn't really mean that. You ever heard that? Yep. Well, what does it say right here in Scripture? Well, but God didn't mean that. There's no such thing as hell. I had a pastor tell me that one time, and I said, really? Are you saying there's no such thing as the devil? No, not really. There's just bad people in the world. And I said, well, what about the Bible? Okay. So it's those kind of things. All right. It was Satan who tempted Jesus on that 40 days in the wilderness after his baptism. You know, what did he say to him? He says, you know, I will give you anything if you will worship me. He tried, wasn't successful, but he tried. You know, in fact, I think it's Satan's temptations that we see most of the time. And I think this really shows into three areas. And these three reasons, these three areas, have to do with Jesus' personhood. You know, that if we reject his personhood, we reject him. So I think these three areas are Jesus' humanity, Jesus' divinity, and his authority. You know, what did the Revelation quote say today? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father, and I am in you, just in him, just as you are in him. And he is in us, just as we are in him. You know, he goes through that, and he's very clear about that, isn't he? Well, there's a reason for that. Why are those three things have to do with a person rejecting Jesus? Well, let me spell this out for you because I think it's really rather simple. Rejecting Jesus' humanity or rejecting the Son of Man. Well, in the age we live in, most people don't reject Jesus' humanity, but the first century, and that's what we have to look back to, it was popular to deny that Jesus was fully human. We know from the Catechism, the Bible, that Jesus was fully human and he was fully divine at the same time. But he had to live among us as a man, right? I mean, he had to have the same temptations, the same goods, the same bads as the rest of us. The Apostle John says this in 2 John. Whoever confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, this person is a deceiver and an antichrist. In other words, Jesus is alive, Jesus is a man, and if you say he's not a man, you're an unbeliever, you're an antichrist. That's pretty harsh words coming out of an apostle, isn't it? All right, so how did Satan attack Jesus' humanity? Now, when presenting his first temptation, Satan urged Jesus in his hunger to command these stones to become loaves of bread. Matthew 4. Satan played on Jesus' human nature, didn't he? And his need to eat. By demanding him to exercise his power, he was essentially demanding Jesus to reject the experience of his humanity. Well, if Jesus rejected his humanity, then he's not here to suffer the pains and arrows of outrageous fortune, as Hamlet says in his soliloquy. He would only be divine. Geez, Jesus rejecting his humanity? What does Jesus call himself? The Son of Man. Until when? The resurrection. Then what does he call himself? Son of God. Because he had to go to the cross as one of us. Right? Well, don't we find other ways of rejecting Jesus' humanity? Now think. Now, we think of Jesus sitting at the right hand of God. He's divine. He's God. Is he still a man? Yes. Is he limited by his human form? No. That's hard for some people to get away. You know, John Calvin, great reformer, could not get his head around communion. What do I say when we do communion? Those who believe that Jesus is with us in this meal are welcome at our altar. Calvin didn't believe that. He believed that since Jesus is a man sitting at the right hand of God, he's not going to be in all our churches. How can a man be in all our churches at the same time? What is he rejecting? Jesus' divinity. Makes sense? I mean, we're talking about rejecting humanity. Some of us reject the divinity. He believes that our spirits leave our body, go to heaven, commune with Jesus, come back to our body. Well, it's one of those things. Well, what churches? Well, Reformed churches, Presbyterian, Baptist. You know, so when we look at this, there's a lot of people that have trouble with that. And, you know, I always think of it this way. Jesus says, take and eat. This is my body and this is my blood. If Jesus was confused about that, I don't think so, do you? No. All right, so when we're looking at this and rejecting humanity, okay, we remember that he shares common experiences with us. Now, I use the word hypocrite today. What is a hypocrite in the Bible? An actor. Okay? The word for actor in Koine Greek is hypocrite. Is that the same way we believe today? Well, now think about that for a second. A hypocrite is somebody who says one thing and does another. Who says one thing and does another? An actor. Well, yeah, but okay, see what I'm getting at? I mean, the derivation of that word is the same, whether you're looking at the people that Jesus hung around with or the ones today. But artistic people, actors, yeah, we like to drink a little wine, we eat too much, we tell dirty jokes, and who's Jesus hanging around with? Why does Jesus eat with sinners? Remember that in the New Testament? Well, why wouldn't he eat with sinners? Who's he trying to come to? Us! You know, so if I look at this kind of stuff, folks, you know, Jesus' humanity is there all the time, just as long as his divinity. But yet, if we reject him, we're crucifying him again, aren't we? We constantly do that. Hebrews 4 talks about the fact that Jesus' humanity is what ties him so much to us. All right. Hebrews 4, for we do not have a high priest who is unable, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. He can sympathize with us. Why? He was. He lived it. Okay? But one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. He was tempted, but did he do it? No. Jesus faced the issues of humanity as a full human being, not as a divine person hiding as a human being. You know, some of our Christian brothers and sisters believe in adoption. Well, Jesus wasn't really born divine. God adopted him. International Pentecostal Fellowship believes that. You know, so when we do that, in fact, the Nestorian Christians, the one that died with the Taliban, had their heads cut off, okay, they believe that. They believe it's called adoptionism. But does it make them any less a Christian? Well, they don't look at it the same way we do. Well, yeah, does that make them wrong? Does it make them unchristian? No. You know, and that's the thing, as my dad always said, if you point the finger at somebody, you got three of them pointing back at you. Are we here to judge? No. Who's here to judge? Jesus. But we reject Jesus' humanity. We judge his humanity. Because we have an atheist mindset. All right, now stop and think about that. Our society today, and you see this in the news, reject religion because it's mythology. It's just myths. They have no meaning. Haven't you heard that on the news? I have. It's not real. Jesus can't be divine. God is impossible. And we reject both him and Jesus. Yep. Crucify him. Yet without Jesus' divinity, we don't have a Savior, do we? Satan attacked Jesus' divinity when he twice challenged him with the words, "If you are the Son of God." If you are the Son of God. Matthew 4, verses 3 and 6. Said it twice. Because Jesus was the Son of Man at that time. All right, so if you're the Son of God, prove it. Jesus didn't have to. He didn't have to fall into the temptation. So to deny Jesus' divinity is to rob him of the power to save. So we've looked at Jesus' humanity. Now we're looking at his divinity, because without divinity, there's no salvation. And we're forever doomed to the eternal darkness. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? Okay. But now, here's the thing I think that comes in and works with us is his authority. The challenge to Jesus' authority is directly related to both his humanity and to his divinity. This is where we put them together. Okay? Now, with Jesus, they're already together. I mean, there's no difference, right? One of the things the Book of Concord says, all right, if we have divinity in one hand, we have humanity in one time, it's like two boards, we put them together with glue. Are they together? No. They're glued together, but they're separate. With Jesus, it's not separate, is it? But that's a concept we have trouble understanding, that he can be both at the same time. Jesus' authority is important to us because not that it's just an earthly authority, but it's a spiritual authority. All right? Well, spiritual authority I can understand. Why an earthly authority? Because, David, he wants you to do good. I want you should do good today. Do good. But you see where I'm getting at? Does he tell us to do that? Of course he does. And we want to do that. Do we want to follow the Ten Commandments? Because we want to. Not because it's law and you have to or you're going to go to hell. But we want to share back with those what he has shared with us. That authority is important. Consider the promise that went to the offspring of Eve. This is Genesis 3, verse 15. The promise of the land went to a descendant of Abraham. And that's in Genesis 15 and Galatians 3. So we know that the promise of everlasting life, the promise of salvation, the promise of this land went to Abraham. And who's our God? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yes. An everlasting kingdom was promised to a descendant of David. 2 Samuel 7. All right, promise of the land. A kingdom everlasting. Well, an everlasting kingdom is where? In heaven. But yet, a lot of people, our Jewish brothers and sisters, believe that who the Messiah was going to come back as an earthly king, right? His authority was going to be on earth. What is that rejecting? His divine nature. Okay? And for us, we have to have both, right? Divine and human. The promise of a global kingdom was promised to a man in Isaiah and Daniel. Okay, Old Testament. So when we reject Jesus' authority, we reject both his human side and his divine side. But about what that pastor told me in Cincinnati, what about the hypocrisy of Christians? Is it there?
Yep.
Has it been in this church? Yep. Is it in every other church? Yep. Blaming Christians for hypocrisy, I think, is a trap. Because no one really rejects Jesus over hypocrisy. Did Jesus do it? No. Man did it. And I say that man, woman, whatever. Jesus didn't do it. Who's on our side? Jesus. No one ever claims that Jesus is a hypocrite. At least people recognize him as a good teacher and a good man. But those are just human traits that reject his divinity, right? But he has that. So when someone claims to reject Jesus for how his people sometimes act, that too is a rejection of Jesus' authority. That pastor that I talked with rejected Jesus' authority. Is Jesus in authority over us? Yes. Do we always do what we're supposed to do? See where the focus of this is going to? So if we screw up, what do? Ask forgiveness. Not only of the Lord, but of the person that we hurt. And that's a hard thing. One of the things of AA, cousin told me this, is that you got to make a list of all the people you've hurt in your life and you go back and ask for forgiveness. Make amends. You know, but isn't that really a beautiful sentiment? Huh? Even if they didn't know it. You know, one of the things that we do in the catechism, remember it talks about our forgiveness of sins from what we do, the commission, and what we don't know, omission. I mean, we use those funny things because we can hurt somebody we don't even know we did it. Or you can intentionally hurt somebody and you know you did it because you started and went out there to do it. But the beauty of all of this is that Jesus is with us. Jesus is humanity. Jesus is divinity. And all we have to do is ask for forgiveness. We're all human. We all sin. We all make mistakes. You know, I talk to people all the time, Walmart. Walmart's a great place for me. I hang out. Hey, how you doing? Okay? Well, you have that's the thing. I mean, that's just what I do, you know. How's your day going? You know, we start talking. You go to church? Good? Oh, there's a good church to go to? See what I'm getting at? That's what I do. I said, where do you go to church? Well, I don't go to church. Why not? Well, I don't have to. I understand, but I said, do you believe?
Nobody has to.
See, there's the thing. If we have to, it's law. Right? What did you say, Bev? You missed the point. That's a good way of putting it. We do it because we love the Lord. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. There's the new commandments. Okay, where does it say you have to, or you're going to go to hell for these? It doesn't, does it? Okay, all that stuff is right out there for us all the time. But the people I'm talking about, that pastor, are using the excuse, somebody made me feel bad, so it's Jesus' fault. Jeez, I thought nursery school was a long time ago. But don't you know people who act that way? He made me feel bad. He didn't. You had some screwball. Jesus didn't do it. You had some screwball that made you feel bad. Not Jesus. So deep inside, I really think that person's using Jesus as an excuse to deny that Jesus has authority over us. And if you deny the authority, aren't you crucifying him again? Okay. So that resurrection isn't there. Two 2,000 years ago, the people stood in front of Pontius Pilate and yelled, "Crucify!" And Pontius Pilate said, "I see nothing evil in this man." What does he do? Washes his hands of the situation. I don't want anything to do with it. You think he's evil? You handle it. Chicken. But he was afraid of starting a revolution. I think the hypocrites who reject Jesus because of that are the true hypocrites. But even good and well Christians crucify him every day. We screw up. How many times have you rejected somebody because they look funny? Or they smell funny? I had a situation one time. I heard this story. Guy walked into a church. And they had just called the pastor. He came in, unshaved, stunk, sat down. And the people were going, "You know what?" So finally, one of the board of elders went over and said, "Sir, you're going to have to leave." He said, "Okay." So he got up, walked out. A couple minutes later, the door opens. He walks back in, walks to the front. "By the way, I'm your new pastor." Did he make a point with the hypocrites in that church? Yes. I really think that's a pretty good thing. I wouldn't have the guts to do it. Now, Pastor Don has done things like that, but I don't know if I could. But my friends, when Jesus went to that cross, when he was crucified, he paid the bill for our sins. And on that day of resurrection, the day of Easter, and today we're having our last celebration of the resurrection. Well, we celebrate it every Sunday, but you know what I mean on this. Folks, we are celebrating our eternal life with him in heaven. This is most certainly true. Amen. On this last day of Easter, may our hearts rejoice and be joyful in the resurrection of our Lord. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.